You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Shop Blinds.com Labor Day Mega Sale happening now. Save up to 50% site-wide plus a free measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
On this Labor Day Monday. How's everybody doing? The summer is over. But our baseball's just getting warmed up. We got football around the corner. The weather is perfect for me. We're getting back to shorts and hoodie weather. I love it. I know we're missing the pool. I know it. I know we're grasping, clawing at it with our fingernails. But don't worry. Life's about to get good. We're in the middle of a pennant race. The football teams are getting ready to start their season. That's on Thursday. And here we are, the last day of summer before everybody comes back to work. Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. I'm back from Italy myself. I was with you Saturday, and I'll be with you filling in for Keith McPherson today as we have a five-hour ride to midnight, 888-808-1019. Nico on the other side. And Juan Soto. That's right. You know, for all you clowns who can't understand that, everything about Juan Soto that has been said this year has been true. Like, everything about Juan Soto. No one has ever lied. No one has ever been misinterpreted. Everything that has been said about Juan Soto, and really these two baseball teams, as we're about to hit September, and we'll get to the Yankees and their 12 games to define their season. And we're going to get to the Mets here, who, even with, like, the great Juan Soto, I don't know why we feel this way. I can't help but, like, get annoyed at how we need to, like, push back on everything. Yes, Juan Soto was uncomfortable at the start of the year. Yes, he looked it. It was obvious he was wearing it on his sleeve. Yes, Juan Soto was having a typically down season when it comes to runners in scoring position. Yes, that's all true. But throughout all of that, everybody knew that Juan Soto is one hell of a baseball player. In fact, a baseball player worth $760 million. A baseball player who we all knew and why we talked about it so much is because it was stunning. Because we all expected this. We all expected what this team, let alone Juan Soto, has been over the last month. We expected the clutch hits. We expected the, I don't know if we expected, what is it, in these last four games, the stat that's circulating everywhere now. Four home runs, a triple, three stolen bases, 11 RBIs, a partridge in a pear tree. The only other player is Ryan Klesko to ever do that since 1920. So, yeah, Juan Soto in this offense. And when they were going through it for the first 4 months of the season, when they were struggling with runners in scoring position, it felt like he was the leader of the struggles. He was the face of it. If only you could get Juan Soto going. Because it was really early on, Pete Alonso and nobody else. Lindor had struggled for a long time. This offense clearly was the worst in baseball, practically, with runners in scoring position for the first 4 months. And this was the team you envisioned. This, at least the offense, we're going to get to the pitching in a second. This is the offense you envisioned all year. Now, it's on one hell of a run trying to make up for the last 4 months. And it's doing even better than what we could have even expected. But you watch this lineup. And what they've done right now is obviously they're coming off today's win 10-8 over the Tigers. And of course, even when they score 10 runs lately, it's an adventure with the rotation and the bullpen. But this was the offense we were all expecting. This was supposed to be the driving force of the team. So much talking about this rotation and the way that David Stearns had put it together in his thought process, not wanting to spend money on top-tier free agents and pitchers over 30 because they get hurt, and all the sound logic that goes into building a rotation, all of the sound, you know, logic that we have heard from the Mets as they went about building over the last year and a half a rotation that stunned the world. The pitching lab and what they've been able to get out of guys like Manaea. Guys like Severino, guys, the list goes on and on. Guys like Peterson, who, you know, has had an up and down career as a Met, and the last 2 years up until this last month had been one of the best left-handed pitchers in all of baseball. Like, what they've been able to do with their rotation has been remarkable, but what's been annoying about this team, what's been frustrating about this team, as we've seen it flounder really since May, is that this offense is supposed to be what carries them. They are supposed to be a dominant offensive team. This is supposed to be a team that last year was like the seventh or sixth best offense in the sport, carried them to the best record in baseball from the moment they were 11 games under 500 and had the team meeting back in May of last year, carried them all the way to the NLCS, and it was supposed to be there, that plus this great player, Juan Soto. That was supposed to be the Mets. And now that you're seeing it, now that, you know, 2 weeks ago, right as I was going to Italy on a Saturday, and I was talking about looking for answers because the offense was starting to awaken. Right? Lindor was getting hot. He was hitting leadoff home runs, and yet it still wasn't culminating in victories. And I was like, where are the answers? The pitching guys are coming back from injury. Manaea, Senga, coming back from injury, not helping. Offense starting to wake up. Soto's been pretty, you know, outside of some, you know, not being able to hit in the clutch as much as you'd like, or the multiple run home runs, as this Grand Slam was the first time he's hit a home run with more than one man on base all season. This was his first either three-run or, you know, Grand Slam home run as a Met this year. So, even through those struggles, he was still performing at a level close to what Juan Soto should be expected to perform outside of being clutch. But Lindor was getting hot. You saw Vientos starting to show signs. McNeil's had one hell of a positive season. I mean, the guy just continues to keep hitting. He's having an incredible second half. And yet it still wasn't culminating in victories. And that is still the problem. Like, both of these baseball teams are so maddening. And we'll get to the Yankees later. But what's so maddening about the Mets is, and I know today's a good win. Today's a good win. Today's a positive win off a very good team, the best record in the American League, been that way the entire year. They go into Detroit and absolutely pound the Tigers. Juan Soto has the grand slam, the triple, the six RBIs. The offense is waking up. They've been scoring double digits on a nightly basis almost. And yet, even at the start of this game, it became abundantly clear Manaea wasn't going to get anybody out. The bullpen outside of Diaz, who has to come in and, you know, in the eighth inning again today, outside of Diaz, even Rodgers, who got through his inning, makes you nervous. Helsley, who, you know, we're hoping can eventually stop tipping off his pitches, which it sounds like they're starting to work on that. And he, you know, the manager said he was a little bit better today, couldn't complete an inning clean, but was better today. This is a Met team that has finally got this offense going in the right direction. This is a Met team that now for the last month has had the great Juan Soto and everybody follow, right? While they were struggling, he was the face of it. Couldn't come through with the big hit. Ground balls to second base over and over again. leaving the strike zone, atypical of what a Juan Soto typically does at the plate. If only you could get him going, this entire offense will explode. Well, that's what it's felt like here. And yet still, despite that, and clearly that is a huge positive, and it's now a force of a lineup that you're hoping can carry the way through here now the next month of September and be this into the postseason, and you expect Juan Soto to be that guy into the postseason, you are literally relying on a rotation of kids who haven't made more than three starts. Like, that's what it feels like. Right now, you don't know, although the manager said today after the postgame that Manaea and Senga are still part of the rotation. I don't know how you can continue to do that. The manager also said yesterday that half the pitches he throws inside the strike zone are non-competitive. He's been getting absolutely annihilated every single start since he's come back from the hamstring injury. Same thing from Manaea, who says he's healthy, says the elbow's fine. That high fastball is getting absolutely demolished like it did the first pitch of the game today as they fell behind. And still, even with scoring 10, damn near give up 8. It just feels like it is so frustrating with both these teams that even when, like, they find the answer, they get what this team has needed all year long to get this offense going. And now the rotation is, and Peterson on was it Saturday? That was like Saturday. I was a little bit more optimistic about the Mets. That Peterson's been awful in August. Like, right now, there is no one in this rotation. You rely on McLean. Tong had one start, and everybody's waiting for Sproat to get called up. And that's great. And they've come up and given the team a real spark. There's no doubt about it. Right? Even the game Tong pitches, he throws six pitches, gets out of the first, and boom, the offense. You get the two-run home run from Soto, the three-run home runs from Nimmo, and suddenly away they were. And McLean's been great. Pitching to an under one ERA, all three starts, he's been brilliant, getting run support. It feels like when they're on the mound, the Mets can go do anything. And yet, the rest of the rotation is in shambles. And the bullpen isn't much better. And I know that, you know, Keith was talking about all day, and it is impressive the way they played against good teams. They come out today against the Tigers, beat up, as we know, the Yankees are about to go play 12 games against good teams, and nobody believes in them. The Mets sweep the Phillies. Still find themselves pretty far back in the division, but they sweep the Phillies. They play well against the Tigers. But you can't lose 3 out of 4 to the Marlins. And you can't have a rotation because this is about the postseason. I heard Rosenberg, the glue of the station, talking with Keith. All that matters is the postseason. We're going to get into that a little bit more at the Yankees at 888-808-1019. And that's true. The Mets are going to the postseason. I don't think there's any doubt. This team is good enough. They'll find a way to get enough outs in the rotation. They're going to score enough runs. They've got enough of a lead. Even with the Cincinnati Reds having a come-from-behind victory in the ninth after blowing the game, to beat the Toronto Blue Jays, I don't think the Reds are very good. I don't think the Mets have much to worry about. They're going to the postseason. But when you get to the postseason, as much as, yes, get Juan Soto to the postseason, yes, get Lindor, get Alonso, get Vientos, who flourished in the postseason last year, get them to the playoffs and see what this offense can do. Absolutely, and you've got the best closer in the game, or at least one of the best closers in the game. Absolutely. But in between that, you've got a rotation where if you started in the postseason right now, if the postseason started tomorrow, who's making the starts for you? Are you really going to tell me, like, games 1 and 2 are two kids who have combined to make 4 starts in the major league level? Is that really where we're throwing a $325 million team? That's how we're tossing the dice to come to a wild card series? Which right now looks like we'll be on the road? Like, it's just, it's a good win. The offense is exploding, and that's what you've been waiting for, and that's probably a better sign than you could have had anything else. And Juan Soto is what he is. We all knew what he was. I don't like to go back and revisit everything and make it seem like people were idiots back in April, because we weren't. Because it is what it was. We weren't an idiot a month and a half ago while they were losing every night and had an 8-9 to 8 game losing streak, and Juan Soto came up small in every big spot. That happened. It's okay to say it happened. It happened. And right now, he's coming through in every big spot. And that's what we expected. And we expected Vientos to be a major part of this team. And we expected Lindor to hit leadoff home runs. And we expected this offense to be the driving force behind the team. But what we didn't expect, despite the how they put it together and despite the patchwork that they've chosen to go about building a rotation with, we did not expect it to collapse on itself to this level. You cannot trust to throw Manaea. You cannot trust to throw Sanga. Right now, over the last month, it's hard to trust Peterson. Clay Holmes has been, you know, pedestrian at best. And you're hanging on to the fact that Sproat still hasn't been called up and you've got that one last ace up your sleeve. But ultimately, are you going into a postseason trusting three? One hasn't even thrown a start yet at the major league level. Are we talking about a Met team with a $325 million payroll going into a wild card series talking about starting at minimum two kids who have so far combined for four starts at the major league level? Because I think we would be talking about that. So today's a good win. And it's nice to see the offense pick up. And yeah, we can throw superlatives at Juan Soto all day. He's an incredible player. You know me. I've been down on him this year. I don't know how you can't be. Right? Yeah, okay. Is it a down year? Have we said that? And you look at the numbers now, and it's still a 900 OPS year on pace for damn near 40 home runs. If not that, he probably is. If he's on this pace, he's certainly going to clear 40. 40, 100, 900 OPS. That's Juan Soto. But he didn't impact the team as much as you would have liked for 4 months of the year. That's a fact. It's okay to say it. It's a fact. But you're getting it now. You're getting it now. And you have another month, and we all expected it to come eventually, and we all expected him to be a good postseason player. So you want to get the Mets to the postseason, clearly, right? You wanted to have a better year than that, but this is what you got. And you're heading into a postseason with the offense doing exactly what you wanted it to do and a rotation that's supposed to just be good enough to be able to supplement that. But right now, it's hard to see that from this rotation. And I don't know where the answers are. And if you look at, I mean, it's just both of these teams, even when it's going good, even when you have a nice win like you had today, even when you try and envision the future of this team, it's, well, they can't beat good teams, or, well, they don't have a rotation, or the pitching isn't there, or they made trades for relievers who, you know, Soto isn't very good as the lefty out of the bullpen right now. Rogers is very hittable. Helsley has completely just been an absolute bust. And the rotation is down to three kids who weren't pitching a month ago. But yet here we are. Yet here we are. And they're as dangerous as anyone as long as this offense is going to hit like this. They've just got to find a way to fix whatever is going on with either Sanga or Manaea. They need one of those guys to be pitchable in a postseason series. Right now they're not. Peterson doesn't look that way either. You were hoping to be able to put Clay Holmes in the bullpen. Might not be able to do that. So as optimistic as I am, as just a natural baseball optimistic person, we'll get into my optimism about the Yankees as well, but it comes with a little bit of, I don't know how they stabilize this. I don't know how you get through a postseason, because over the course of 162, and this is why David Stearns builds the team the way he does and chooses to build the team the way he does, because you can get by. You can get by with mediocre starting pitching. You can. You can get through a season with mediocre starting pitching as long as your offense is as good as it's supposed to be. And the Mets have kind of done it without either. At the beginning of the year, the rotation was excellent. Now it's floundering. The offense is picking up. But it has the twain ever met? I don't believe they have this year for the Mets. But yet they found themselves in a position where they're going to be playing postseason baseball. And over the course of 162, you can make it through. You can lose Clark Schmidt, you can lose Cole, you can lose Manaea for half the year, you can lose Luis Gil for half the year. You can get through, especially with the payroll these two teams have, with the amount of teams that make the postseason, you can figure it out. But when you get into a postseason series, when you get into a best of five, a best of three, you got to have someone you can count on to give you five innings. And right now the Mets have one. And his next start will be his fourth of his major league career. That's a scary proposition for a team that's got a $325 million payroll. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. So we'll get to your Met calls off of a good win, but still a scary kind of rotation that makes you wonder what this team is capable of. We'll get to the Yankees and the 12 games that define their season. So much about these next 12 games. How much do they really matter? And then, of course, we got the football season right around the corner. We'll get into, I talked about on Saturday, I think the Giants are going 2-0 to start the year. That's right, on the road, two divisional opponents, two wins for the New York Giants. I'm positive on everybody today, except that Met rotation, which I don't know how you can be. 888-808-1019, McMonagle in for McPherson. I got you for the next 4 hours and 40 minutes as we take you on a five-hour ride to midnight right here on The Fan on this Labor Day Monday. Back with your calls right after this.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Shop Blinds.com Labor Day Mega Sale happening now. Save up to 50% site-wide plus a free measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
McMonagle here with you. 888-808-1019. Got you till midnight tonight. I can't believe summer's over already. It goes by so fast, especially when, you know, you take vacation the last 2 weeks right before the end of summer. Now it's, that was it. Over! The next day off is on Thanksgiving. Let's go. We got a football season coming up. We got a pennant race. Pennant race baseball. And we get to the Yankees in a little bit. Don't look now. Yankees, the two games in the loss column out for the best record in the American League. Don't look now. 888-808-1019. So we'll start with the Mets, though, is obviously Juan Soto and this offense have been incredible for the last month. And Juan Soto is having, you know, a typical Juan Soto season. When you look at the numbers, it's a typical Juan Soto season. It's also fair. Like, I love nowadays, like, we're so, like, I was critical of Juan Soto. No doubt. I don't know how you couldn't be. Doesn't change what he's doing now, what he'll expect. And I never once said Juan Soto stinks or that I don't expect him to perform. It was just the fact that he wasn't in the clutch doing what he normally does. His clutch numbers are terrible this year. But this is what you were waiting for. And this is what you know will most likely come during postseason play because that's what he's done. He did it for the Yankees. Not so much for San Diego, although he wasn't bad in the postseason for San Diego. And then, of course, he was terrific in the World Series for the Nationals. This is who he is. That's why it was so puzzling and such a talking point during the times where he wasn't who he normally is. But right now, he's on fire. He's coming through in every big spot, so is pretty much every other Met, as they have scored a ton of runs, but yet still lost 3 out of 4 to Miami and are still a team right now that, I mean, I think are as dangerous as anyone. But I just don't know how you can, like, this rotation, and there are no other fixes. There's Sprout. You can call up Sprout. That's it. They are going to have to fix Manaea. They're going to have to fix Sanga. One of those two pitchers, if the Mets want to win the World Series, plain and simple, if the Mets want to win the World Series, one of those two pitchers have to find a way to be what they were last year, or at least close to it. One of them. I don't know how you can go into a postseason series and just say, I'm going to throw these young kids because they're really good and the league hasn't seen them yet. I mean, maybe crazier things have happened, but that would be one hell of a story. Because right now, I mean, I guess Peterson, there's also obviously McGill down in the minors, who's getting healthy. You know, he's had times where he's been a dominant pitcher for stretches. Could you get lucky enough where he becomes that guy for the next 2 months? There aren't a lot of easy answers. And so, yes, the offense has found itself. Yes, they're hitting with runners in scoring position. That's what you've been waiting for all year. But you can't have a rotation that's completely fallen apart. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls. Steve in Rockland. What's up, Steve?
Hey, Chris. How's it going, man?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
Listen, you had some fun? Yes?
Yes. When? Today?
Awesome.
Oh, no, on my vacation?
Yeah.
Yes, Italy was incredible. Sicily was incredibly
right,
beautiful.
Right.
Yes, thank you.
All right, Paul. That'll be for
the overnight.
On overnight. So, a couple of things. So, first of all, I think it was me who said that Soto was going to finish the year with as much of a vengeance as he was going bad at the beginning. I did say that. That's number one. Number two, okay, mm-hmm. You know, he is leading the National League in walks and runs scored with his terrible season. And now here's a question for you. Do you think that at the way things have gone, that Steve Cohen is going to approach his general manager and say, hey, look, maybe we do need to invest a couple of bucks in some starting pitching?
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know how he... Like, it depends on how this season goes. They're still going to make it to the postseason. I think they'll tell themselves, well, listen, this isn't Sanga. He had an injury and he just hasn't found it. They'll tell themselves Manaea is better than this. They have developed young, promising starting pitching. I would think you could, right? I mean, you have their payroll. Now you're going to have three guys in the rotation next year that you feel comfortable about. They're going to be inexpensive. They're going to be young and controllable. You think you can afford one starting pitcher. Now, the problem is this. I don't think there's a lot of big names out there this offseason.
Maybe they do a trade. All I know is this, you know, can you go through? I mean, the Dodgers kind of did it last year. You know, can you get through with where your starting pitchers are glorified openers? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, the Dodgers didn't get through it, like, strictly on that. They had a couple of starters, obviously. They had Yamamoto. They had Flaherty. They had some guys who could start. It wasn't just openers. They did have some. They obviously had 2 out of the 5 games, you know, they would have, they threw some bullpen games. They did it with a dominant bullpen. They went out, they had a good bullpen. They went out and traded for more bullpen guys. They had a extremely deep and talented bullpen last year. It's not in, but, and the Mets don't have that bullpen though. Let's be totally honest. The Mets don't have that kind of bullpen. Right now you feel really good about Diaz. And then, like, I don't know. Like, they don't have the kind of bullpen the Dodgers did last year to supplement a rotation like that. And at least they had Yamamoto, who I know was a rookie last year, technically. But he's making, he's the highest paid pitcher in the league. Like, they're gonna rely on young kids to start these big playoff games. And it's not like young rookies who've played all year. McClain's going to make his next start. It's his fourth start of his major league career. Tong's next start is going to be his second start. Sproat hasn't had one yet. You're talking about relying on three guys in a postseason series who are babies, who haven't even, you know, who were called up in August and September. That is not easy. Ian in Rockland, what's up, Ian?
Hey, Chris.
What's up,
bud? Thanks for my call. I really enjoy your work, and I think that you're a very knowledgeable guy.
No, thank you.
I'm just gonna throw. You know, I think your points are spot on. So I'd like to throw a couple of questions at you
sure.
to get your feedback on it, because I think that Senga and Manaea are really in extended spring training now, given their injuries. And I think they're trying to find out what they have, if anything, going forward. I think Peterson is kind of wearing. He's probably thrown more innings. I don't have numbers in front of me than he has in a while because he's been in and out. I think Holmes definitely pivots back to the bullpen. But maybe it is the vision of Stearns to bring up a Sproat and say, hey, you know, we got these three A-plus arms, high-level guys that are minor league guys that have come in and kind of there's no book on them not really well-known, and we're going to roll the dice with them and, you know, maybe not game one starters, you know, maybe it's Senga, Manaea in game one, you know, splitting half a game.
I don't know how you could do that right now.
But I think these three guys, I think he's going to truly roll the dice with these three kids.
Well, he has no choice. I mean, that's the thing, though. You make it sound, and I appreciate the call, Ian. Excuse me. You make it sound like it's his choice. Well, that was the plan. That wasn't the plan. The plan was to have Kodai Senga pitch like he did at the start of the year with an under 2 ERA. The plan was to, they went out and paid Manaea a good contract after last year. The plan was to get that pitcher from last year, who had Chris Sale's, you know, sidearm delivery that changed his season. That was the plan. The plan wasn't to rely on these three kids. That's what they're stuck with. That's what they're forced to go do now. And, you know, could it work? You mentioned they don't have a book on them. You know, these, and they're not just average pitchers, to be fair, no doubt. McClain has looked incredible. Tong was the best pitcher in minor league baseball. And Sprout's a better prospect. Sproat's a better prospect than all of them. So, like, I get it. It's not like they're just three minor league arms. These are three legitimate top prospects in all of baseball. Three legitimate, you know, top pitching prospects who have good stuff, who get strikeouts. But, I mean, you thrust them into tough spots here. I'm just saying, like, I don't see it unless Manaea or Senga find themselves. They need one of those guys to find themselves. We'll see about Peterson. You're right about Peterson. He's thrown 152 innings. That's 31 more than any other inning in his career, any other season of his career, rather. Last year, he threw 121. So he's up. I mean, now look, that's not, it's 30 more innings. It's not some sort of crazy number, but it is more. You do have McGill down to my, making his way back from injury, and he has shown spurts. you know, the starts of his seasons have been incredible. Maybe this will feel like the start of a season for him coming off of this injury, because he's been really good to start years and then he loses it. And you do have three young, talented prospects. I'm not saying all hope is lost here by any stretch of the imagination. I think there's a good chance they find that Sanga or Manaea can find themselves over the next month. That's why I don't know. Like, it's tough, man. Here's the question I have. Okay, you got to take Sanga out of the rotation. I've heard that from a lot of Met fans. You have to take Sanga out of the rotation. He can't pitch anymore. Chalk it up to just the injury. Next year, I have faith in him still, but the rest of this year, I don't know how you can continue to throw him out there. Okay, I mean, I hear you, right? You're battling for playoff spots. You want to make sure you win as many games as possible, and it feels like the games he throws become non-competitive, and the offense has to score 10 runs if they want to win the game. I get it. But at the same time, aren't you in a good enough spot in the postseason? Like, don't you feel comfortable enough where you're trying to make the best version of the Mets when you get there? Like, don't you want to give Sanga a month to figure it out? Even if he doesn't, you're in a six-man rotation. How many starts, how many games are you actually talking about? What can he lose you, another three games? I don't think that's going to cost you a playoff spot, and it might find you a rotation piece that you need. I don't know. I don't know how to treat this. I got to be honest with you, right? If you just go on merit-based and whether or not he can help you win the game, or, you know, are you willing to give up on him? I get it. I get that. I get you want to throw Sproat out there and you want to win as many games as possible. Bring up McGill. Let's try him. Sanga's non-competitive, the words of his own manager. I get it. But at the same time, what if he finds it? Isn't that the best option for the New York Mets? Isn't the best option for the New York Mets, isn't it about winning championships? If it's about winning championships, how can you tell me not giving Sanga a month to become the pitcher he was at the start of the year isn't what's best for this team? Because I'd like to roll into the postseason with the Sanga of April, May, and June. That's what I want to do. I don't want to roll into it going, well, McGill was a better option for me in August. Great. You trust him in a big game? And if you have to go that way because Sanga never finds it, then you have to go that way. But I don't know. I wouldn't be so quick to just give up. It's not like where they were 3-4 weeks ago where, you know, now I know they got a big series with the Reds coming up here in a little bit, but they were right on the precipice of being out of the postseason. I feel like, you know, they've got a 4-game gap here. I know that's not a ton. They got a month. Crazier things have happened. You know, they blew 7 with 17 to play. I get it. But I also want to head into the postseason with the best possible team I have, and that includes either Sanga or Manaea as viable starters. I don't see another way around that. Linda in Forest Hills. What's up, Linda?
How are you, C-Mac?
Good. I'm good. I'm doing well, Linda. How are you?
You know, as a Mets fan, you want to enjoy games like today. With Soto finally getting that elusive big moment, although, you know, I, as someone who knew it was coming, didn't give up on him or whatever, but you can't enjoy games like his when the pitching staff, top to bottom, absolutely sucks.
Yeah.
It just does.
And no, it's really bad right now outside of McLean.
And the problem I have is it goes back into this past offseason, okay? When Cohen goes out and signs a Juan Soto to be on a team that was just 2 games shy of the World Series last season, mm-hmm. and Stearns goes out and answers the question, what's next, with guys like Griffin Canning, mm-hmm. Frankie Montas, who nobody wanted.
Yeah.
And moving Clay Holmes from a reliever to a starter, that doesn't inspire confidence. You know, because I was one that says, well, you know, you're taking chances on all these reclamation projects and maybes and what ifs. Well, logic dictates that the bullpen is going to be taxed.
Yeah.
Because none of these guys are going to give you length. Well, look at, you know, that's exactly what happened. The bullpen is shot. Starters don't give you length. And now with the offense doing what they were supposed to do all season, you just don't have confidence that this team currently can go on a big run in the postseason should they make it.
No.
And to me, the blame for that goes on David Stern.
I don't disagree with you, Linda. I think that's a reasonable. Now, I mean, it's tough. At the start of the year, Griffin Canning was my exhibit A of the pitching lab. The guy was incredible. They turned Griffin Canning into the worst pitcher for one of the worst organizations when it comes to pitching in all of baseball with the Angels. He was the worst guy in their rotation practically, and they can't pitch to save their lives. And he came here and pitched phenomenal. So, like, he was, I was ready to, Griffin Canning was one of the guys I was ready to canonize, pun intended, David Stearns for. But you're right, then he goes down, which was with the Achilles injury. That's obviously been a tough one for the Mets. Who knows what he would have been? He was starting to trend in the other direction, but who knows what he would have been able to be for the Mets down the stretch of the season. And yeah, they just didn't. Now look, again, who, right? To be fair, to try and play devil's advocate, do I wish they built the rotation in a different way? Yes, I was critical of them at the start of the season. Having said that, Corbin Burnes blew out his arm. I don't know if he would have done it with the Mets or not, but that's a hard argument to make that he wouldn't have. I mean, who was out there? Who did you have to go get? I mean, Nathan Eovaldi's having one hell of a year. They could have went out and got him, I suppose. There's a couple of arms they could have went out and got. But it's not like they were really great answers. But that's what I'm looking for now. Where are the answers with this team in this rotation? That's the thing. And to me, part of it is I know we want to only make, like, you know, Sang is not competitive. Get him out of there. I don't think Manaea can make another start. I get that. I get it. I do. They're in a 6-man rotation, so theoretically you could just go to a 5-man rotation and only, you know, take the two of them out, call up Sproat. There you go. But don't you need one of those two guys to find themselves? Like, that's my question to Met fans at 888-808-1019. Do you feel comfortable enough in where you are in the postseason standings that you'd be willing to throw out Sanga and Manaea every sixth or seventh day to see if you can find them? Because once you head into the postseason, you're going to need them. Like, that, you could take them out and just, what, declare them dead? Put them in the bullpen? And then rely on three young kids come postseason time? Or rely on Peterson and Holmes and two of the young kids? Because you need four starters in the postseason. You need three in the wild card round, right? So would you throw right now Peterson, Holmes, and McLean? And then have Tong as your fourth? Is it McGill? Like, what? I think for now I would still be throwing out Sanga and Manaea in hopes they find themselves. Now, I know that's high hopes. I understand it's been many starts for both of them off the injuries. It's not like it's been a couple. But I still don't know what the better option is. 888-808-1019. Let's go to John in Hartford. What's up, John?
Hey, how you doing, Chris? Doing a great job.
Thank you, buddy.
Got two questions for you. Question number one,
mm-hmm.
Who do you think set up to make a deeper run based on 25 games left and going into playoffs, roster construction, pitching staff, all the dynamics, make a deeper run this year in the playoffs? Yankees or the Mets? That's question number one.
Okay.
Question number
two. Yeah, you want me to answer it now or wait for number two and I'll answer both together?
Answer that one first. Go ahead, answer that one first.
Yeah, I don't think there's any questions to New York Yankees. I really don't. I think it's the New York Yankees. The pitching rotation has stabilized itself a little bit. At least they have Max Fried. I mean, they have Max Fried, Carlos Rodon. I agree that I'm worried about him in big starts, but he's an all-star. He's given them a very good regular season. The bullpen has kind of established itself, at least with Weaver and Bednar, where I feel like they've got two arms back there. At least you can kind of mm-hmm. trust. They just got Cruz back, who's thrown the ball well since coming back. And not only that, the American League is weaker. Like, and the Yankees offense. Now, look, they haven't, again, we're going to get into these 12 games and what they have to prove, but Like, the Mets' offense is and the Yankees' offense is very close. The Yankees' offense is killing it, and Judge hasn't even really been a part of it. And then once Judge can play the outfield, you'll have Stanton in the lineup every single day, as long as he can stay healthy. So, like, I don't think there's any question. Unfortunately for the Mets, if the rotation was even the slight bit more stable, I think you could easily say the Mets. But the rotation is in such a free fall that I don't know how you could. I don't know. Any Met fan who wants to tell me how the Mets are more suited for a playoff run, please call me up and let me know. It's just the rotation. That's it. The rotation and the back end of the bullpen. They have Diaz and nobody else. At least the Yankees have Weaver and Bednar. Now, you could argue Diaz is better than both of them, but at least there's two for the Yankees. Plus, Cruz has been really good. Like, I don't know how you can say them, the Mets, with the rotation right now.
I agree. The middle relief has to chip in, too. Mm-hmm. In the game. I agree there. Here's the second question. You got 25 games left, and they're down two in the loss column. What are the chances of the Yankees getting the number one seed? And I just want to finish with a comment after I hear your answer.
What are the chances? Well, look, you know how I feel about the Blue Jays. I think they're frauds. And I think they're starting to show that they're frauds. They blew a game today you can't blow after coming back and taking the lead in the ninth against the Reds. I think there's a very good chance the Yankees win the division. As far as taking over the Tigers, I mean, they're floundering a little bit, and the Yankees will play the Tigers at Yankee Stadium at home next week. So, I mean, what are the odds? I don't know. They're fairly good. They're not great, but they're fairly good. They're two games in the loss column, and I don't know if you can tell me either team is better than them. Here's the problem. The Yankees do it to them. 50-50? I don't know if I can give it 50-50. I think that's... I mean, look, the Yankees haven't proved they can beat these teams, and that's who they're playing for the next 12. We're going to get into it and how I feel about it. And I feel, believe it or not, I feel slightly different about the narrative around these 12 games than most people do. But they haven't played well enough against these teams to make me think they're going to go on a run against them. And that's what you'd have to do if you want to overtake these 12 games. At least you have to play 500 against, you have to go 6-6 in the next 12 or so, and then dominate the end of the schedule again against the Twins and against the White Sox and against the Orioles, which they're more than capable of doing. I mean, I think that's, you know, as long as they make it through these 12 games at worst, you know, treading water, if they continue to play against these lesser teams the way they have over the last month, the last 2.5 weeks of the schedule are very easy, and they should win a lot of games. So, and that's without looking at the Tigers' lineup schedule, and that without looking at the Blue Jays' record. I'd have to look at those schedules at the end of the season for them as well. But yeah, I mean, let's be honest, how funny would it be? How crazy would it be after all of this? After all this team sucks, after all the ups and downs, after myself, I've been, for as positive a Yankee fan as there that exists, even I have had my moments of just pure frustration and almost give up on this team. And even talking about moving on from Boone, if they didn't win that final game in Texas, like, I was close to saying, listen, if they fall out of the postseason at any point this season, I'm willing to move on from the manager. Like, and that's me, the Boone defender. So even I've had my moments of doubts here. But how funny, they are two games away. They are two games in the loss column away from having as productive enough of a regular season as you could have. Like, that's it. You could talk about, oh, they should have won more games. They could have done this. They could have not had the lull, blah. They're two games in the loss column away from being the top seed in the American League. Like, how funny would it be after all of this if the Yankees end up with the one seed, watching others play the wild card round with a bye? Because they have a better record than Houston as they head to Houston dressed up like Cowboys. I mean, they've got one game. It's technically tied, but they have percentage points and one game in the loss column over Boston. It's only Toronto. They have the third best record in the American League. For all the bitching and all the complaining and all the crying and all the videos that they put out on social media and all the, you know, killing the team and everything, they're two games away from the best team in the American League. That's it. That's why all of this, man, the 162. And you want to say, and people keep tweeting me, it's a bloated wins or bloated win percentage, bloated record with all these.
There's no such thing. That's what 162 eliminates. You can't have a bloated record off of 162. Now, I'm not saying you should beat your chest about beating the Nationals and White Sox. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying every other team in the American League played the Nationals. Every other team in the American League played the White Sox. You can't have a bloated record when you play 162. 162 is the ultimate evener. That's it. Everyone plays the same schedule. You play them at different times, right? Somehow the Milwaukee Brewers have been left off of every list of the Yankees against good teams. Haven't seen a single part, haven't seen one single list of the Yankees against good teams with Milwaukee on that list. Not one. Because they swept them, it was at the beginning of the season, and no one deems it important or relevant. But it doesn't matter they played the Tigers all the way back to, you know, 3-4 months ago. That counts. That counts. But we're not going to count sweeping the Brewers because that didn't really count. Nestor Cortez was on the team. It doesn't really matter. The Brewers sucked back then. So it doesn't count. 162 is the ultimate leveler. It's not that I'm overly pleased with how they've played over the last 2 weeks. It's not that I think that they're a great baseball team because they've, you know, swept the Nationals and swept the Cardinals and took 3 out of 4 from the White Sox. Not at all. But don't give me this crap about the record doesn't count. It's bloated and, you know, this and that. And it doesn't. The Blue Jays played the same teams, man. The Blue Jays, who everybody's been praising and heaping a bunch of love on and are in first place all this time and blah, blah, blah. They played the same teams. Nobody goes back and parses their wins. If they're beating up on the Yankees so much, it means they're losing to the teams the Yankees have been beating because they're only 2 games better. These 12 games are important. There's no doubt about it. But we'll get to it because I don't think they're important for the reason many people think they are. 888-808-1019. Quick break. Come back. We'll get to the Yankees. We'll still take your Mets rotation calls, your Juan Soto calls, as he is absolutely carrying the team right now. A grand slam, 2-run triple, 6 RBIs in the game. He's on fire. The Mets offense is on fire, but their pitching is in deep doo-doo. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Quick break. Come back after the update. Got you all the way for the next 4 hours on our ride to midnight right here on The Fan.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Shop Blinds.com Labor Day Mega Sale happening now. Save up to 50% site-wide plus a free measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.